The Minister for Finance and Public Expenditure, Pascal Donoghue. Minister, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin.
Thank you very much for joining us this Sunday morning. Yesterday, you were at another Cabinet meeting, the third in a week, where you outlined another batch of measures to support businesses impacted by COVID-19. Would it be fair to say that this is an acknowledgement that the roadmap approved by government on Friday is going to make life a lot harder for those businesses than it might have been otherwise?
Well, what will make life exceptionally hard for those businesses is that if the disease surges back again and strengthens across the coming weeks and months. And I acknowledge the huge challenges and pressures that all who run or own a business are facing at the moment and the worries that those have who no longer have a job. So I would say it slightly differently, Gavin, that amidst all of those uncertainties, having a graduated plan to open up the economy and hopefully contain the disease is probably the best way we have of trying to create confidence about our health and our economic health. And the measures that were announced yesterday are a way of supporting businesses through this reopening.
So I have a statement in front of me with some of the measures that were agreed yesterday. A €10,000 restart grant for micro and small businesses. That is basically either a waiver or a refund of the rates that they paid last year. There'll be a 3-month commercial rates waiver for impacted businesses. Then there'll be a €2 billion pandemic stabilisation and recovery fund, which will help to recapitalise medium and large businesses. There'll be a €2 billion credit guarantee scheme to support lending to smaller businesses. We'll be warehousing tax liabilities for a period of 12 months. And then there's a commitment to local authorities that any rates that they don't get from businesses, they will get from central government instead. It strikes me that a lot of those measures, with the exception of some of the recapitalisation funds, a lot of those measures amount to delays or holidays in payments that are already there. I mean, yes, there is a write-off of rates, but a lot of it is a credit guarantee scheme. We know that revenue is only warehousing the taxes. It's delaying them rather than writing them off. Is that going to be enough? Because then when you have a recovery, you'll have a lot of people expecting to pay 2 years taxes instead of one.
And it is the case that, for example, in relation to taxation, what we're planning to do is to warehouse them over a period of time after the, hopefully we are successful in our efforts with COVID-19. But in relation to many of the other measures that are there, for example, the grant to help companies get up and running again, the proposal in relation to the waiving of rates, they are direct measures that we're putting in place to put more money and income into businesses. And of course, this is on top of the wage subsidy scheme, where the state is actually paying 70% of the wages now of over 400,000 citizens. So I think you have to see the measures yesterday in the context of what we've already done. And while it is correct to say some of the measures are about lending, some of them are about how we will put capital into companies, other of them are about how we inject income and cash into an economy that really needs that at the moment.
Could you perhaps have gone further in the likes of maybe commercial tenancies? Because a rates waiver is obviously welcome for the businesses that will benefit from it. But I know you've asked landlords to show forbearance with commercial tenants if they're not going to be able to pay their rent. And yet there's still items in the papers today, and we've already had texts coming in right now, 53106, talking about how some shopping centres and some retail parks are still looking for the full rent, and they've told that their tenants will still be pursuing arrears. And those people don't feel like they're going to be given any latitude at all.
But as great as the challenges are that we're facing, and I know they're so great for those who are trying to run a small business, those who are in our retail or hospitality sector, I still do have to operate within the parameters of the law. And as no government has the ability to arbitrarily intervene in any contract that exists between a commercial tenant and a landlord. Now, that being said, there are powers of influence that are open to me, which I will continue to use. But to use a hypothetical example, if you're a small company and if that small company is on our wage subsidy scheme, over the last number of weeks and for the next number of weeks to come, we're saying that you won't have to pay your rates. We'll pay between 70 and 85% of the wages of those who work for you. We're saying the tax liabilities that you have, we're going to put off to allow them to be paid into the future. And we're saying we're going to make a grant available to help get your company up and running again. And if you need lending at a lower rate of interest, or indeed if you need capital, we've new ways in which the state will be able to help you with that. So yes, you're correct in highlighting an issue that I know is there in relation to rents, which I hope we'll be in a position to influence. But there are many, many other ways, Gavin, in which we're doing things that are genuinely unprecedented to help our country's economy at a time of such strain.
When you mention the influence that you could bring to bear on banks, you are still a major shareholder in many of the banks. So maybe legally you cannot break contracts that are, you know, driven up between a bank and a customer, but you could also act in place of the bank and use your shareholding there. Is that something that you'd consider?
Well, actually, the same legal environment applies in relation to my shareholding of a bank, which I hold on behalf of the Irish taxpayer. And we've had many debates on your show and elsewhere over the years regarding what I can make the banks do and not do. And even though I am a shareholder on behalf of the country in our banks, they are independently run. They do have their own boards with independent directors and an independent chief executive officer. And across the last number of weeks, for example, the banks have now put in place a six-month loan break period for which now over 40,000 loan holders have now availed of.
Which is very welcome to those people and to mortgage holders as well, but it still will result then in slightly higher repayments afterwards because it's not a holiday, it's merely a deferral of payments, which will still then result in a lot of those people having to pay slightly more and the banks, in fact, being slightly more profitable as a result.
Well, I'm going to be looking at that very carefully because it is not my intention, my expectation or my view that banks should be in any way more profitable as a result of what's going on with COVID-19. And to be frank, Gavin, if I look at the scenario that's ahead of us, I find it pretty difficult to see a way in which the profit of our banks over the last number of years is going to be maintained at that level with what is coming at us both domestically and globally. And the challenge that I have, as always in these matters, Gavin, is I have to continue to ensure that our laws and regulations are also fair to those who can afford to pay the mortgages and who are still paying them. And we have to get the balance right. But what is in place now is making a difference to tens of thousands of loan holders. And we're putting all these measures in place because I'm really confident that over time, with these kind of measures, we will be able to rebuild our economy. We will be able to create jobs and income again.
Does all of the measures that you've announced yesterday, 6.5 billion of them, does that add to the deficit that you'd already projected to run this year? So instead of it now being a deficit of 23.5 billion, it's now going to be a deficit of 30 billion?
So the short answer is no. Out of all the measures that we announced yesterday, the ones that are most likely to affect our deficit for 2020 are the Restart Fund, which will provide a grant of up to €10,000 for small and medium-sized companies, and some of the commercial rates that we are now deferring. All the other measures are ones that are likely to affect our debt over years to come and will be well beyond 2020. And, of course, all of that in turn depends upon how many businesses access them, and where we end up with this disease.
Now that you've outlined the roadmap, you and your cabinet colleagues, and it's going to be 99 days, we hope, before everything is back to relative normality, but of course that timetable can still slip as well. If businesses are now going to be told in some circumstances that they cannot trade for that period because of the nature of business that they're in, will the government be extending the wage subsidy or the pandemic payment to cover all those employees who now will find themselves unable to go back to trading for the next 14 weeks?
Well, we're going to be considering that issue, Gavin, now in the next number of weeks. As you can appreciate, we made a major announcement yesterday, which you're understandably quizzing me on. And only the week before last, we made another set of really big measures in relation to the development and strengthening and improving of the wage subsidy scheme, particularly for those in lower income. So we are going to be looking at the future of both those programmes in the next few weeks. What we will be looking to do is to change them in line with what is happening in our economy and with public health. You can appreciate that these are measures that are costing between €300 to €500 million per week. And because of that, we need to get the balance right between them being affordable for our country overall, while, of course, appreciating they're making a massive difference to people who've either lost a job or are still in a job because of the wage subsidy scheme.
Well, on that topic of people who are still in jobs because of the wage subsidy scheme, I didn't intend to ask you this, but someone has just tweeted it in, and it is a very pertinent question. We now know that there are circumstances where people had been approved for, you know, to draw down a mortgage, for example, but they've now been refused on the drawdown because they are now on the wage subsidy scheme, even though they still have the same full employment. What is your opinion on that? Do you think it's okay that banks would then withdraw mortgage approval for some people who have really had their hearts set on getting a home and then suddenly have it taken out from under them?
Well, that's a matter I'll follow up on, Gavin, because the wage subsidy scheme is being used by companies that, with if we are successful in dealing with COVID, which I believe we will be, these are companies that we believe will be viable and will continue to be successful in the future. And it's the first time I've become aware that using the wage subsidy scheme would in any way act as an impediment to somebody drawing down a loan which they would have got. The one situation in which I can imagine in which that an issue could develop is that if you're on the wage subsidy scheme, it is possible that your income could have fallen by quite a bit and the subsidy scheme isn't in a position to make up all of the income that you would have had pre-COVID-19.
But there are some people who still have the same level of income but who are now taken it off them. So that's something you'll investigate.
You're correct, Gavin. I mean, it could be there's so many different wage circumstances within this scheme. There would be many on us whose wages might not have changed by too much. If that is the case, I'm not sure why that it should affect their ability to get a loan. It is possible that we will have some of your listeners who are on us whose wages might have fallen by quite a bit. Maybe that could be creating an issue despite the effect of the wage subsidy scheme. But that's a new issue that I've become aware of now here this morning. And certainly across the coming days, I'll follow up in relation to that.
Okay, it's something we'll keep our eyes peeled on. A lot of the measures that you've announced yesterday, and this brings us to the topic of government formation, are things that you're literally not in a position to implement because a lot of them will need changes to primary law. You'd need to pass a bill in the Dáil and the Shannon, and we know the Shannon can't meet without there being a new government. Why announce measures if you're literally not in a position to implement them?
Because I know they are going to be needed soon. And even though we are not in a position to implement them fully, because some laws have to be passed first, it's going to take us a number of weeks in any event to get the schemes up and running. And we can do all of that in advance then of the legislation passing.
But do you know for certain that the legislation would pass? Because, you know, if you haven't necessarily consulted with other political parties, you don't know whether a new government will want to take this up or not.
Well, I have let opposition parties know what I'm doing, but of course it's always up to them to agree with me or disagree with me in relation to these measures. But my duty, first and foremost, Gavin, is to, as Minister for Finance in this government, is to the over 800,000 people who've now lost a job and all of those who may still be working, but we need to keep in work and we need to keep their companies going. And I discussed this at length with the Taoiseach, and we feel very strongly that we need to lay out an agenda while we are in government about what needs to be done across the next few weeks to keep our economy intact across the next number of weeks and months. And we are doing all we can to try and form a government at the moment within boundaries of affordability and our belief regarding how our country should be governed. And I hope now other parties can play a role in seeing that government be formed.
And I do want to come back to that point in just a minute, but very briefly as a drive-by question, just on housekeeping. We know that social protection is going to need a new estimate ratified by the Dáil inside the next month or so. Do we know for certain whether you, as a caretaker Minister for Finance, do you have the authority to bring that before the House, or does it have to wait for a new government?
Well, constitutionally, Gavin, to be clear, there's no such thing as a caretaker minister. You're a minister or you're not. Mm. There's a government in place or there is not.
So we don't need a new government to try and ratify then any proposed new welfare budget.
While it's entirely understandable that, you know, you would use that adjective, given that we are waiting for a new government to be formed. The only reason why I make that point is that from a constitutional point of view, I, as a member of the government and as a member of the Dáil, can present the estimates to the Dáil. And then I would have to work with all parties in the Dáil to agree a format within which they can be passed.
Okay.
But the answer to your question is yes, that can happen. And if a new government is not in place as we move into, I would judge, early June, then I will have to work with this government and with opposition parties to present estimates for a number of government departments.
Okay, you mentioned the process of trying to form a new government, and we know that the Green Party are finding it very difficult to decide whether to proceed to full negotiations or not, and they were partly upset by comments made by the Taoiseach Simon Coveney in the Irish Examiner on Friday, talking about the impact of carbon cuts on the farming sector and on rural Ireland. Are there any more assurances that you can give the Green Party as a member of Fine Gael's negotiating team for a new government, any assurances you can give them that you are prepared to contemplate the 7% cut, which they say your party already signed up to in the all-party agreement last year anyway?
Well, look, as the Taoiseach said over the last day or so, we're absolutely committed to seeing are there ways in which we can significantly improve our ability of our country to reduce emissions. So, yes, we are. But we do need to understand how that is going to be done and how that will be funded, given all that we have going on in our country at the moment. And as eager as I would be to explore a way in which this can be done, equally, I do have a duty to be honest, both with myself and to the country, that I can only sign up for something that I'm confident we can actually deliver. So, yes, I do want to find a way to see can we go significantly beyond our commitments, because the Green Party are correct. In a recent plan and report that was agreed by an all-party Oireachtas committee, we did commit to looking at how we could do an awful lot better. But this is the reason why I would be hoping we could engage with the Green Party, because I would love to hear their ideas regarding how this can be done and hopefully find a way in which an agreement is possible.
Is it fair then to summarise your position as you are up for it, but not at any cost?
I think when you're a member of a government, or you're a member of a government that has responsibility for taxation and the spending of the country's money, like I do at the moment, that's normally a fair summary of any policy or political debate that I'm in. That yes, I do want to find a way of making progress, but it has to be in a way that is affordable. And you know, I want to pay tribute to our colleagues in the Green Party and to Deputy Eamon Ryan, who I know are taking really seriously the responsibilities that they have. They're trying to reflect and understand, is there a way forward? And I hope they're successful in their deliberations and decide that they can engage with us.
They will say, though, that the 7% that you say, you know, can't be done if it's unaffordable, they'll say that we can't afford not to do it because the fate of the planet is literally at stake.
But if the fate of the planet is at stake, which I accept that it is, isn't that all the more reason to sit down and engage? I've never come across a problem or issue in politics that gets any easier by not discussing, by not negotiation, by not engaging with another party or colleague or politician. The kind of politics that I found can be successful is the politics of engagement and the politics of intense negotiation if needed. You're right, Gavin, there are parameters. We can't do everything. But within those parameters, as the stakes are so high, surely that is a reason to talk and engage. And I hope we can do that soon.
Minister for Finance and Public Expenditure, Pascal Donoghue, thank you very much for joining us live this morning on The Record. Guns Talking, and thank you very much for your time.